The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June 26, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of Illinois Market, Indiana. In agricultural news, Fast Track expires this Saturday. It's believed Congress won't take the TPA or Trade Promotion Authority up again until after the November elections, and even then, it'll return with some strings attached. Dave Dickey will have details of this and other stories shortly. Also this half hour, we'll hear about crop conditions in Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, and Indiana, as we do each and every Tuesday. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us, won't you, for this edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Taking a look now at the numbers as they finished on this Tuesday afternoon at the Chicago Board of Trade. Day trade finished like this in the nearby wheat July contract at 608.5, up 19 cents for the day. September futures at 626 were 21.5 cents higher. And December contract at 634 finished 19.25 higher. March futures $6.36, up 18. The May contract at $6.28. In the wheat pit, up 18 cents as well. July corn futures for the afternoon, a penny and a quarter lower at 356.5. September futures were unchanged at $3.67, and the December at $3.75 were up one for the day. July bean meal futures at July soybeans at 807 were up 2.75 for the afternoon. And the August contract at 815.25, up 3.75. November soybeans at $8.42 were up 3.5. July bean meal futures now at 220.10, unchanged on the day. July bean oil futures 0.1 higher at 34.98 for the day. From the Mercantile Exchange, August feeder cattle at 107.65, down 90 cents. And June live cattle up a dollar, rather down $1.95 at 85.55. August contract down 62.5 cents at $88.62.5. And July lean hogs at 72.67.5 were down $1.42.5. From the outside markets, August crude oil at 67.82. They're down 1.36 for the day. And the September's at 68.30 are down $1.47. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 13,354 is up just about 2 points at this hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
It's been rainy here today. I just checked with our own meteorologist, Ed Kieser, and he says in the last 24 hours, I believe, we've had 2.09 inches in the gauge here. You had a pretty heavy rainfall like we did, I think, but not nearly as much in the gauge. Is that right?
Well, we had a cloud burst here, and it has quit raining, but the thunder's still going. We maybe got a tenth of an inch here out of it this afternoon, but it didn't last very long. But there is some more thunder out there, and we're hoping that maybe they pick up a little more. We did get close to 2 inches, an inch between an inch and a half and 2 inches, 2 inches at my house. When you start with Thursday evening through Sunday afternoon, that way. So we're in much, much better shape than we were a week ago when we talked. You know, so that's part of the sell-off has probably been justified here with the improving eastern belt crop conditions, Todd. And, of course, as we saw in the crop conditions ratings yesterday, especially how Illinois jumped.
Indeed. Let's take a look at, rather than the sell-off, the jump in the wheat pit today, up 19 cents in nearby July. September's were 21.5 higher. What, pun intended, precipitated that?
Well, I think, you know, the Stats Canada, the talk of, you know, of course, the wheat ratings decreased yesterday. We had talk of some of the wheat acres, spring wheat acres, not getting planted along the way. And then when Stats Canada come today with the they're going to have 2 to 3 million metric tons less of wheat to export this year. You know, you just can't remember as big a surprise as that in all the time they've done that. And that's the lowest acreage since 1971. Couple that with the drop in hard wheat quality and the decline in the Ukraine crop that's already tightened up over there. And, you know, then there's additional threat of our U.S. spring crop and wheat futures, you know, not having as much and having good conditions out there. So all that and the tight stocks that we had before that even happened, you know, I think it took us to about 11-year highs up in the Minneapolis Exchange today.
And then speaking of stats, some numbers out from Dow Jones on the survey of the USDA June acreage estimates today. The range for industry guesses from 89.25 to 91.704 million acres for the corn, the average there at 90.585 million acres. Of course, the Planting Intentions report showing in 90.45 4 million acre crop, that according to what farmers expected to put in the ground last year by contrast at 78.327 million acres. Last year soybeans were planted at the rate of 75.52 and the average trade guess this year at 67.838. That's not too terribly far off the 67.14 that was the Planting Intentions report. What'd you make of all those numbers?
Well, those numbers, if they'd come in at that, I would think would be just a little bit friendly, because I think that the trade actually had been thinking they might increase it a little more than that on both of those, Todd. You know, all the talk that we've been hearing out there is, you know, for a little bigger increase than that. We know that one of the commercial grain firms is quite a bit higher than that as far as their estimates, and we'd heard, you know, people estimating, you know, even another 1 or 2 million more acres than the average guess there. So not that those would be friendly numbers, or at least considered to be that way, at least neutral numbers, that's for sure, as close as they are. We would be very happy if those were the numbers that come out that way. I think it would still give this market a chance to get another weather rally going. But if we come in with, you know, large acreage increases, another rally this summer might be hard to come about.
And just so we know who's where, the commercials, the large commercial was ADM at 91. The high out of the corn numbers from Allendale, right at 91.704. That's the high, and the low was 89.25. And I might be able to come up with that very quickly. That was from Risk Management Commodities. So we hear from both of those folks on this radio station. We'll see how they all do when that comes up on Friday morning at 7:30. We're going to just mark time as we get into that finally for the week, like we normally do. Or will
no, Todd. This has been a crazy day. You know, between the wheat situation, you know, today the new run at noon. Sort of went bonkers as far as how it looked. You know, we sold off after seeing that to put a lot more moisture into things. They're thinking the next run will probably, it's been flip-flopping and everything around. We're going to keep an eye on whether we do look at weather problems, number one. We're going to have that wheat out there pushing things around, and we're going to have some pre-positioning, too. So the quiet week that was talked about probably isn't going to happen. You know, like I say, unless that, you know, your individual traders are on the sidelines here for this report, we're already positioned exactly what they are firmly entrenched in, why we're going to see quite a bit of trading going on this week. And I think we're going to see trading on both sides between now and Friday's morning's report.
Any final word before I let you go?
That's about it today, Todd.
All right. Thanks much, Wayne.
Thank you.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Taking a look now at the forecast from our own Mike Sola. He says across the two-state region for this afternoon and tonight, partly to mostly cloudy skies. This is for this evening. A few showers, some thunderstorms, mainly into the evening. Lows between 68 and 73. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies. Showers and thunderstorms will continue, beginning during the morning in northwestern Illinois and expanding to the southeast. Highs will range from 83 in the northwestern part of Illinois to 90 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast, rain will begin from west to east on Thursday as well. A widespread 1 to 2 inch rainfall is expected. The week will end with cooler and less humid conditions. Warm to hot conditions will dominate the weather for much of the first week of July. Precip will become more sporadic with occasional afternoon thunderstorms bringing localized rainfall, but no widespread rain expected next week. Dave's here now with the news.
In agricultural news, Japan and the U.S. will hold 2 days of technical meetings on U.S. beef imports this week. Expectations are that the meetings could pave the way for Japan to ease its strict beef import restrictions. Japan only allows import of beef from cattle 20 months and younger. During the closed talks, the U.S. will submit the data it provided to the World Organization for Animal Health. The OIE gave the U.S. a controlled risk nation rating in May. The rating allows beef exports irrespective to animal age. Fast-track presidential trade authority is set to expire on Saturday. Unless it is revived, new bilateral trade deals will be subject to congressional amendment. AFBF officials believe if Congress does consider TPA, it will be after the November elections, and there will be strings attached. AFBF trade advisor Dave Salmason.
They want to have it something they can feel more comfortable with and have Congress have a greater role. Now, they have a role now. They do consultation and such. It's just not that they stand back and they wait to see what the agreement is and then vote up or down. But I think they want even more, and they want it written in there that they'll have even Congress will have even a more day-to-day inclusive role in the conduct of trade negotiations.
Four yet-to-be-voted-on bilateral trade deals still qualify for TPA: Peru, Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 decision, has ruled that the Environmental Protection Agency can hand the authority to issue water pollution permits over to states, even if doing so appears to violate the Endangered Species Act. Since the 1972 Clean Water Act mandates the handover to state authorities once certain conditions are met, the court said it takes precedence over the Endangered Species Act. Developers often need the water pollution permits before they can proceed with building projects. The European Union's national governments yesterday failed to agree on whether to allow imports of Herculex RW, a GMO strain of corn. The Dow Chemical and DuPont strain is designed to withstand corn rootworm. EU national agriculture ministers must now decide whether to allow the strain within roughly 3 months. If they can't agree, the European Commission will override and approve the strain for import for a period of 10 years. Meanwhile, Monsanto officials predict that Europe will double the size of its GMO crop area over the next decade. And wheat production in western Nebraska may not have suffered as much as originally thought from the Easter freeze. University of Nebraska Extension crop specialist Drew Lyons says it's likely that irrigated wheat planted after the dry bean crop harvest will see the greatest yield loss.
That's where the most likely significant damage is occurring, because like the pollen is very susceptible to freezing, and if you are just at the point of flowering, you probably killed that pollen off and it didn't get to pollinate the flower, and so you don't get grain. I have seen a number of white heads sent in where people think it's frost damage, but actually what I think what happened is we had that cold snap and then we had 2 weeks of warm, dry weather. And some of this wheat is just running out of water, and it's the flag leaf is burning up and the heads are turning white.
Most panhandle wheat producers are expecting harvest to start in the next 2 to 4 weeks. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find MP3 files to listen to or to download as podcast, and you can sign up for our weekend newsletter.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you.
USDA's June 25 crop progress report released yesterday showed, not surprisingly so, given the rainfall across the Midwest, the nation's corn crop is 3% better this week than last week. The top two categories captured that increase and put the monocot at 54% in good condition and 19% excellent. 4% of that crop is silked. That's the same as last year. And the rolling five-year average, 63% of the soybeans, a dicot, are in good to excellent condition. 6% of that crop has bloomed, and that's 33% ahead of the five-year average. Just 22% of the winter wheat crop has been harvested. That's way behind. Last year, half the crop was in the bin by this time. And the five-year rolling average is 36% harvested. Now, here are the statisticians from Indiana, Minnesota, Nebraska, Illinois, and Iowa to update crop conditions in their states.
This is Joe Prusaki, State Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 24, 2007. Scattered rain showers at the end of the week brought much-needed moisture to parts of the state, causing 85% of the topsoil to be rated adequate or surplus moisture. This is a significant change from a week ago when 33% of Iowa's topsoil moisture was rated short or very short moisture. High winds accompanied the rains but caused little damage to crops. Other parts of the state received little to no precipitation, increased worries over moisture of the soil. The statewide average precipitation was 1.97 inches for the week, while normal for this time is 1.24 inches of rain. Rainfall over the past month have been heaviest in eastern Iowa and least in the west, reversing the trend prevailing through most of the spring. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 0.2 degrees below normal statewide, with western Iowa averaging a degree or two warmer than usual and eastern Iowa a degree or two cooler. There were 4.8 days suitable for fieldwork compared to 5.1 days last year at this time. Topsoil moisture rate of 15% very short or short, 73% adequate, and 12% surplus across Iowa. Subsoil moisture rated 8% very short or short, 79% adequate, and 13% surplus. The condition of the oat crop is 2% very poor, 19% fair, and 79% good or excellent. Oats headed are at 86%, marginally behind both last year and the five-year average of 88%. Oats turning color 11%, 1 percentage point ahead of last year and equal to the five-year average. Corn condition in Iowa was basically unchanged from last week at 5% very poor, 17% fair, and 78% good or excellent. Average corn height is 36 inches, an increase of 12 inches from last week. Soybean conditions changed slightly from the previous week, is now at 3% very poor, 22% fair, and 75% good or excellent. Soybeans are blooming at 5%, slightly ahead of the five-year average of 3%. Iowa's first cutting of alfalfa hay at 89% complete remains well behind last year's 99% and the five-year average of 93%. This has been Joe Prusaki with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Des Moines, Iowa, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 24, 2007.
This is Mark Schleusener with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending June 24th. Rains were welcomed around the state last week, with most locations receiving 1 to 3 inches. Southern areas of the state tended to get less rain and are still reporting soil moisture as short and very short. Central and northern areas report mostly adequate soil moisture, with some reports of surplus. Overall, the state's soil moisture improved greatly from last week and is reported as 12% very short, 22% short, 61% adequate, and 5% surplus. Wheat harvest made good progress early in the week and reached 73% complete compared to 61% 1 year ago and 53% for the five-year average. 91% of the wheat crop has ripened compared to 80% normally. The condition of the corn crop improved to 69% good and excellent, and it has begun silking. 6% of the crop is silking compared to 3% normally. The average height of the corn is reported as 53 inches compared to 42 inches last year and 37 inches normally. 9% of the soybean crop is blooming compared to 5% normally, and the condition of the crop improved to 65% good and excellent. The oats crop is reported as 96% headed, 7% ripe, and 2% harvested. While the rainstorms were universally welcomed, there were some reports of low-lying fields flooding and corn that was blown down by high winds. This is Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reporting from Springfield.
This is Steve Pond reporting Nebraska's weekly crop weather report for the week ending June 24, 2007. Corn conditions rated 85% good or excellent, well above last year's 71% rating. Irrigated fields rated 86% good or excellent, while dry land fields rated 82, both above year-ago levels. Soybean conditions rated 81% good or excellent, well above last year's 66% condition. Wheat conditions rated 54% good or excellent, well above last year's condition of 17%. A few fields had been harvested in southeastern counties. Alfalfa conditions rated 67% good or excellent, well above last year's 40%. Oat conditions rated 71% good or excellent, well above last year's 22%. Sorghum conditions rated 71% good or excellent, well above last year's 60%. Pasture and range conditions rated 74% good or excellent, well above last year's 18%. This has been Steve Parn of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Craig Anderson of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office reporting the crop weather summary for the week ending June 24th, 2007. Small grains matured rapidly, pushed by another week of above normal temperatures. Nearly half of Minnesota's wheat, oats, and barley reached the heading stage with a small percentage turning ripe. Although nearly all of the areas of the state received some rain during the week, conditions of most crops fell slightly from a week ago. The average temperature for the week was 69.3 degrees, 2.6 degrees above normal. Statewide topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday were rated 4% very short, 20% short, 63% adequate, and 13% surplus. As of June 24th, alfalfa first cutting was estimated at 90% complete, compared to the five-year average of 80%. State average corn height was 39 inches, compared to 20 inches average. Soybean height was 10 inches, compared to 6 inches average. Spring wheat acreage was 46% headed, compared to the five-year average, 31%. 73% of spring wheat was rated in good or excellent condition, a slight decline from a week ago. 83% of field corn and 77% of soybeans were rated in good or excellent condition. Green peas were rated at 81% good or excellent, while pasture conditions declined to 60% good or excellent. That's the weekly crop weather for the week ending June 24th, 2007. I'm Craig Anderson with USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
This is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending June 24th. Many areas of the state received a much-needed rain that lowered crop stress. Late in the week, a good, slow, soaking rain helped revive the corn crop. A few areas reported that the amounts received were minimal and did not provide enough moisture to the fields to alleviate the persistent dry conditions, but enough rain was received to give the crop a chance. Growers statewide commented that more rain was still needed, especially on the lighter soils. Topsoil moisture was rated as 29% very short, 37% short, 33% adequate, and 1% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated as 25% very short, 44% short, 31% adequate, and 0% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0.25 inches to 3.61. Temperatures averaged from a high of 98 degrees to a low of 51. There were 5.4 days rated as suitable for field work. Corn condition for the week was rated at 49% good to excellent, up 1 point from last week, but below the 57% reported last year at this time. 98% of the planted soybean acreage has emerged, compared with 92% last year at this time, and for the five-year average. Soybean conditions rated at 43% good to excellent, unchanged from last week, and below 57% was reported last year at this time. Harvesting of the winter wheat acreage is 36% complete, compared to 23% last year and 26% for the five-year average. By area of the state, 2% of the winter wheat acreage is harvested in the north, 23% in central Indiana, and 78% in the south. This is Greg Press reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
And I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You're listening to WILL AM 580 Urbana. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast with meteorologist Don Day. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Parkland College's Board of Trustees has picked an interim president. Tom Ramage will serve in the post for a year with a six-month review. He was the sole candidate for the post. Ramage has been vice president for academic services at the community college in Champaign. He replaces Robert Exley, who resigned from the presidency last month before completing a year in office. He had resigned for personal and medical reasons. Ramage had been interim president in Exley's one-month leave this past spring. The U.S. Department of Energy will ask Mattoon and Tuscola area residents about their views of the proposed FutureGen clean coal power plant this week. The government's holding two public input sessions as it drafts environmental impact statements for the two proposed sites. Those sites are competing against two sites in Texas to land the power plant, which Illinois officials say would create 1,200 spinoff jobs. Construction is underway for Archer Daniels Midland's new plant in Clinton, Iowa. The Decatur-based company says it'll use the $900 million plant to make a plastic from corn sugar. The cities of Champaign and Urbana are preparing to negotiate a new cable TV contract, and public comment about the current provider will help, so says Jeff Hamilton in Champaign's legal office. But he says talks on a new contract may be affected by a pending state law that would let AT&T enter the broadband television market if the governor signs the bill. Hamilton also says Comcast is likely to acquire the current InSite Communications contract before it runs out in 2009. The city's Cable TV and Telecommunications Commission holds public comment sessions tomorrow and Thursday night. Officials say an accidental broadcast of the emergency alert system that went out on TV and radio stations across the state this morning originated at the federal level. Patty Thompson of the Illinois Emergency Management Agency says the alerts that sporadically interrupted programming this morning were sent by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. FEMA installed a new satellite warning system yesterday and conducted tests today. Thompson says the alerts were meant to go out internally but went out to broadcasting systems instead. There was no emergency. The FCC is investigating the alerts. Stations in Illinois and near St. Louis were affected, including the WILL stations. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast for the next few days here in the Midwest.
Well, we are going to continue through the next few days, and we'll take this into this upcoming weekend, where shower and thunderstorm chances are going to be pretty good. There's more moisture coming. That's going to be especially true Corn Belt wide. And some of those areas that have been dry, such as Indiana and Ohio, have some fairly good chances for some precipitation. But after we get past the weekend, and as we get to and just after the 4th of July, things may dry out a little bit, rain going to be a little bit more skimpy. So it'll be an important next 5 or 6 days here to pick up some rain, because after that, it'll be slim pickings for about a week or so.
But we've gotten into a pattern that seems to be pretty nice for a good bit of the Midwest in the way of rainfall for corn and soybean production.
Yeah, and that trend will continue through the weekend, but we're going to see the moisture flow, which has been coming up out of the Gulf. That's going to get cut off with a cool front coming in early next week. And so the trend is going to be drier. We will see some better rains where they could use some down in Florida, down in some of the Gulf Coast states and across areas of Texas.
We probably ought to talk a little bit about some of the other places around the globe. I know that Australia had been suffering a drought. I haven't heard about them for quite some time, and whether they actually were able to recover from that completely or not. Maybe we should check in on the Chinese corn crop as well, and possibly the wheat crop in Ukraine.
Well, first of all, in Australia, they have not recovered. And as they go into their winter season there, they're still very, very dry in some areas. And although there will be some moisture in the both coast, the east and west coast, and southern areas of Australia, some of the dry areas of the east, central, and northeast still will stay that way. Now, as we go over into China, their precipitation and their pattern, pretty good, very favorable. They're going to be looking at near-normal precipitation over most of China and near-normal temperatures in many areas. So growing conditions there, not bad. Over into the Ukraine, some of the wheat areas of Russia, and into those portions of Europe, as we have been reading the headlines and hearing about how wet England has been, well, some of that moisture will get into the Ukraine, some areas of the former Eastern Bloc states, and that appears to be the trend at least for another week or so. So precipitation there good, temperatures averaging a little bit below normal.
And then maybe we better come back to the United States and finish things up, talk about something a little closer to where you're located there in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and the harvest as it continues across the Great Plains states.
Other than some spotty thunderstorm activity that will cause some isolated muddy areas and a few slowdowns, harvest operations as they continue north across Kansas, heading towards Nebraska and deeper into northern portions of Colorado, should have some good harvest conditions.
We appreciate you being with us today, Don.
Thanks, Todd.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the day's markets. And remember, you can always listen to today's futures analysis, the weather reports, right there on the World Wide Web. Just go to WILLAG.org. I'm Todd Gleason.